G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm Graham Curry, your host from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle, and I successfully maintained that weight loss now coming up 2 years. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what it's like to living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. I'm also the author of the book, The Fasting Highway, which is a story of my journey overcoming chronic addiction to fast food and sugar and taking that walk from morbid obesity to normality. So sit back here with us on the Fasting Highway in the next few weeks and listen to some inspiring guests and some experts in the intermittent fasting community. And thank you for joining us. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 88. And just before we get to today's exciting guest, I just wanted to give a big shout out to the Fasting Highway Facebook group members. There's people from all over the world joining that group every week. We have 100, 200 people a week joining it. There's a lot of inspiration there. So if you want to learn something about intermittent fasting and get some inspiring stories, then come and join us in the Fasting Highway Facebook group. Also, if you want to read something about my own journey, learn a bit about intermittent fasting as well and what it's like to live an intermittent fasting lifestyle, you can get my book, The Fasting Highway. That's available on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. And thank you to everybody that has. Okay, so today I'm very thrilled to be talking to Hannah Guthland-Waite. And Hannah is a 37-year-old busy nurse, wife and mother. And she's from Kansas City, Missouri in the United States. And Hannah's had a few trials and tribulations with weight in her life. And she found a way to intermittent fasting and she's found some fantastic success, which she's going to tell us today in this podcast. So here to tell her story is Hannah Guthland-Waite. Oh, g'day, Hannah, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you so much for joining me today.
It's wonderful to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, Hannah, for those around the world that may not know you or your story, if you wouldn't mind giving us a bit of your backstory and any issues you had with weight and health in your life and that sort of thing, and what actually led you to the path of intermittent fasting?
I've been overweight for my whole life. Even as a child, I was always pudgy. In high school, I played sports, soccer, and I slimmed down a bit, but I was still always the heavy girl, always the fat friend. And I pretty much lost hope that I was ever going to lose the weight. I started this and I talked to my husband about it. I was trying to tell him about how amazing this was going to be and get him to do it with me. And he kind of rolled his eyes and he's like, oh, another diet. Great, Hannah. You know, I did eventually get him to get started with me, but I came across it on Facebook that it was this app and it said you can eat whatever you want and still lose weight. And I was like, well, that sounds pretty good. I'll give it a go. And I ended up not enjoying the app like I thought I would, but it did lead me to intermittent fasting and I was so excited. I eventually found Jen Stevens and ended up reading her book, Fast, Feast, Repeat. And it's really changed my life for the better. I've never been this size. I've never felt this healthy before. So I'm very grateful for it.
Okay, so when you came to intermittent fasting, we'll start off with your stats, Hannah, if you don't mind. Like if you can remember back to when you started, sort of what was your weight looking like then? And also just how tall you are. People like to know that sort of thing.
Absolutely. I am 5'7". I started at right around 250. I think it was 247 maybe. And this morning I weigh 167.
Okay. So you started off there at 247. For our Australian listeners, that's 112 kilos. You're currently 167, around the 75 kg mark. So you've lost 37 kilos. That's quite a lot of weight in that sort of period of time. Just what is the period of time since you've lost that weight, Hannah?
Well, when I came across the app I was telling you about, it was November. and the holidays are a big deal. I come from a family where we like to eat a lot, and my mom is an excellent cook. She's actually in the room with me. So I wanted to wait until after the holidays because we always make candy and cookies and goodies. And then I further procrastinated. My mom's birthday is January 25th. And I wanted to wait till after her birthday so I could eat all the cake and, you know, have a nice dinner with her. So I started January 26th of 2021. So 7.5 months ago about.
Wow, that's pretty good going. 7.5 months, you've lost that 37 kilos. It's around 10 pounds a month, something like that, close to it. And a big hello to Hannah's mum there. And we all thank you for your encouragement of your daughter. And I'm sure you're very proud of her. But with your fasting protocol, Hannah, when you started, how did you choose that? How did you get going? What did you do?
Well, like I said, I got into all the Facebook groups and, you know, I've kind of refined those to the ones that I really think give the best input and are on the same page as me. Like, I really appreciate the Fasting Highway Facebook group. It's my favorite one because everybody clean fasts. We're all on the same page. Nobody calls us crazy for not using stevia and monk fruit and all that. So I was in a different fasting group, and, you know, they were telling me about Jen Stevens and how everybody should always do 16-8. So when I first started, I just started with 16-8. I work in an operating room, and so we can't have any food or drinks in the operating room while we're doing surgery. So you get, you know, a couple 15-minute breaks and like a 30-minute break throughout the day so you can go have a drink of water. So I think that's been really beneficial for me because I can't sneak any snacks. You know, when I'm at work, you just really can't. So I started there. I quit eating breakfast. And, you know, I'd wait till my 9 a.m. break and, you know, have something. And then I pushed it back a little bit more. I'm like, if I can wait till 9, I could probably make it till 11 on my lunch break, you know, and then push it back a little bit more. So I didn't stay at 16-8 very long, maybe a week or two. And then I pushed it to 18. And what I ended up settling on, where I spent the most time, was 24 OMAD. So I go to work at like 6 a.m. and I get off at 3 p.m. So I'd open my window right at 3. I'd usually have a little snack of like cheese or nuts or something and eat it on my way home and have dinner. And then I always closed my window by 7. That was always my time. So that's where I lost most of the weight, was doing OMAD.
Okay. So we talk about the clean fast and clean fasting and that sort of thing, Hannah. Did you get that message right from the start with the clean fast you just spoke about?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been a clean faster from the very beginning. So thankfully I didn't have to like white knuckle through it because I think I probably would have given up early on in the journey if I had tried to do that, like have cream in my coffee or, you know, any little snacks. I don't think I would have been able to make it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, when you started, obviously, we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. You're working in a hospital environment. And I imagine the stresses of all that were a lot. So obviously, you have a great mental fortitude and the mental strength. Tell us about that, how you got through that sort of thing with what was going on around you at the time.
Absolutely. I think intermittent fasting takes a great deal of mental fortitude. It's a mental game, really. Because I've always looked at it like my window closes at 7. Absolutely. If it's 7:15 and I want licorice, no, my window is closed. I can wait till tomorrow. The licorice will still be there. The food's not going anywhere. Now, I will say that if I have a special occasion and it falls outside my window, I am flexible about that because I'm really big on family first. And you need to be there to help celebrate with family. You know, like I said, I come from a family of eaters. We always like, we're having my grandma's, what'd we decide, 87? My grandma's turning 87. So on Monday, which is typically a down day for me because I'm doing ADF now, We're having a big party for my grandma, and of course there's going to be lots of food. So I will make an exception for things like that, family things. But when it comes down to like, oh, I'm hungry, you know, I really could eat. Nope, my window doesn't open till 3. That's when I'm allowed to eat, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah, so a big happy birthday to Grandma for Monday. And how old's Grandma on Monday?
87.
What a great age that is, and congratulations. Also, you talked there about, you know, clean fasting. You started with that 16 and 8. As you've gone on, has your protocol changed much? You mentioned ADF. Tell us about how you transitioned into that.
Absolutely. So when I first started, Jen Stevens still had her Facebook page where you could comment, and it was a really good community. And they've kind of transitioned off to her private website, which I'm not a part of. So anyway, I had heard about ADF and I'd read the book, and I was like, those people are crazy. I'm never going to do that. But they kept posting about mealless Mondays, and I was like, well, you know, I already do 20 and 4. I could probably, you know, make it through a Monday. And I was just kind of curious. So I started doing the mealless Mondays just to see if I could. I have a really competitive spirit. And so if I think someone else can do something, then why can't I? So I did it for about 6 weeks. And then I met a really good friend through one of the groups. And she was like, I'm really interested in doing ADF all the time now. So we kind of are accountability partners. And I was like, well, I'm willing to give it a go. I don't know, you know, how long I'd be willing to do this. But I ended up actually really falling in love with the ADF method. So like, for example, my down days are Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then I eat Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And I really like that protocol because I have weekends off with my family. A lot of times my husband and my son and I will come over to my mom's house on the weekend and have a nice family dinner. And my husband and I have coffee dates every Saturday morning where it's just the two of us and we sit outside and talk. And those are really important to me. And I liked how that fit in the ADF model better than my OMAD model. But other things that I enjoy about ADF is I actually have some fibroid tumors in various places on my body. And I think that from what I've read, I'm still waiting to see if I can get them to go away. I think ADF attacks those more intensely maybe than some of the shorter fasting windows. So that's really one of the main reasons why I'm continuing on the ADF pathway.
Yeah, and obviously you took a while before you moved to that transition to ADF. And I think for you, Cummins, listening to this podcast, it's really important that when you start, you don't just jump into these really longer fasts and the ADF and that sort of thing, because your body has to get used to fasting. And if you try to do longer fasting too early in your journey, it makes it really hard. And a lot of people that try that, and then they'll give up because they just can't do it. And you have to build up to that, don't you, Hannah? Just tell us about that process, about building into it and not trying to do it too early.
Absolutely. I think it's super important. One of the big things with intermittent fasting is you've got to wait until you're metabolically flexible. And it's so hard in those early days. Like, it does get so much better if you're just starting out. Don't give up hope, because you have to deplete your glycogen stores. And sometimes people can do it really quickly. For me, I think it probably took about a month or a month and a half. And once you totally deplete those, it's very difficult because you have to retrain your body to do something that it hasn't done for maybe decades, which is to use your fat stores for fuel and go into ketosis. When I was growing up, we always had 3 meals a day and we always had snacks around because that's what we were trained. You know, all of my family is overweight. We have been for a long time. And, you know, my mom and I did Weight Watchers together when we were younger. And that's what they teach you. Like, you have to eat as soon as you wake up because you got to get your metabolism going. You have to rev up your metabolism. And that's what we've always done. Even if I wasn't hungry, I'd force myself to eat something because I'm overweight and I'm trying to lose weight. So, you know, I'd have a banana or have some crackers or something really terrible for me first thing in the morning. So it's very difficult. I'm not sure my body had ever been into ketosis. I've tried so many different diet plans, and intermittent fasting is the only thing that's worked because I don't eat for long enough that it kicks me into ketosis. But you can't do that right off the bat. And I'm all about building up because I really believe that intermittent fasting can work for anybody. But like you said, you can't get discouraged right off the bat. And trying to do even OMAD right off the bat, I think would be a bad idea. Just because people will be like, this is too hard, and then give up. Where it's not that hard if you build up.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of people finding what works for them and what sort of fasting protocol that sort of they can do and that sort of thing. And I know for myself, I just tumbled into the 23-in-1 from the start because it just suited me. I mean, I worked during the day. I got home at 5 o'clock. I ate and then I finished in a period of time over that hour, and that was it for me. And I found that worked. And some people find starting off with the 16 and 8, it's always a good place to start because basically all you're doing is skipping breakfast, really. And, you know, the old mantra that we've had drummed into us, and I know your mum's sitting there probably had it drummed into her, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and, you know, you have to have it and all that sort of thing. And I can remember my mum saying that to me, you know, come on, get out of bed. You got to have breakfast. You can't go to work without breakfast. But, you know, I always say to people, I've never been to a funeral in my life where they've stood there and said, well, here lies the bones of Graham because he didn't eat breakfast. It just doesn't happen. And nobody's ever died because they didn't eat breakfast. And I think that is a good place to start. And I think once you get through that, and then you sort of can choose what you can do. And one thing I really like what you said, and I want to touch back on, is about your flexibility with your family lifestyle, those coffee dates with your husband on the Saturday. I think that's amazing. I really love that. And I love the fact that, you know, you put your family first when there is an occasion and you work your window around it. And to be flexible in this lifestyle is something we need to do, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to miss out on family just because you're trying to lose weight. Like, I see this as a lifestyle. Like, I'm going to do this forever. Maybe not ADF. You know, I might shorten my window times down if I feel like I'm getting too thin or something. But this is forever. So I can't put my family and be like, oh, I can only eat at 3 p.m. So we have to wait and we can't have celebrations till after 3. I think it's really important to be there for your family.
Yeah, it is. And I can always remember my girls giving me a bit of kickback at the start. And they say, oh, Dad, you know, you should be eating breakfast. You should be doing this. And now they say, they ring me and they say, hey, Dad, do you want to catch up? What time's your window? You know, when they work it into that, to that window period, because they've learned to adapt to what I do, and you know, they've now know that it's worked for me and that I'm healthy now, and they can see that. And speaking of that, we talk about the non-scale victories, Hannah, the health benefits of intermittent fasting. And I'm sitting here looking at you and I can't help but notice how lovely your skin is, and you've got that really lovely glow about you. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. I feel like when I first started, like a lot of overweight people, I had this super red on my cheeks all the time. Like, it never been diagnosed, but kind of like rosacea. That's definitely gone down. There's so many non-scale victories. Like, a lot of them have to do with my time. I was always like, oh, I have to feed my family. I have to like prepare meals. So on the weekends, I make them breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, and try and make them special. And now it's, you know, my husband, my son both know I'm doing this. They're kind of on their own for dinner if it's a fasting night. I have so much more time to stay on top of the laundry and the dishes and do whatever else I need to do. Like, right now I'm refinishing a whole bunch of furniture that I got for free. So I've been working on that a lot outside. I'm waiting. I heard you talk about on the podcast before how you got rid of some toe fungus from fasting. So when I was in college, I went to Europe and I think I got it there. I can't remember, but I've had fungus on my toe for a long time. I'm waiting for that to clear up, but it has, I think, gotten quite a bit better. My mom is actually maybe even better with the non-scale victories. She started intermittent fasting after seeing how good it was for me and the results I was getting. And she had very bad plaque psoriasis. And, you know, would you say it's completely gone or just no, but it's better. Her plaque psoriasis is better because of this. So there's just so many things to be thankful for that come from this lifestyle.
Yeah, you just mentioned there your mum started it there. And sort of what was your family's reaction when you first started doing intermittent fasting, and particularly your mum there? You mentioned something about that in your bio. Tell us about that.
My mom thought I had lost my mind. She was like, Hannah, this is an eating disorder. I don't want you to turn anorexic. Like, you know, it's all out of concern and love for me. And I just really stuck to my guns. I said, Mom, I love you, but I've read a lot of books on this, because before I ever started fasting, I read Jen Stevens' Fast, Feast, Repeat and Jason Fenn's The Obesity Code. I didn't find your book until after I had been fasting for a little while, but I have read that one too. And so my mom has type 2 diabetes, and I was like, you know, this Dr. Jason Fenn, he's a medical doctor. He's not a quack. He treats diabetics. He's seen lots of improvements with this. You know, I just kept telling her, and I'm like, if you don't want to read the book, there's videos on YouTube from him. Like, you know, this is a real deal. And a lot of people are seeing lots of improvements in their health from this. And so she quietly, without telling me at first, started and read Dr. Jason Fenn's, I think it was The Diabetes Code. And so that's really what got her started. And since she started, now we have one of her sisters doing it. You know, it just keeps spreading. More and more people are doing it.
And my AC1 has gone from 6.5 to 5.8.
Did you hear that?
What did your mom just say then? Sorry.
She said her A1C went from 6.5 to 5.8 since she's been
in
fasting.
About 2.5,
wow.
3 months.
That's fantastic.
Months.
Well, your mom's going to keep going, and we'll get her on the podcast as well one day. That'd be fantastic. We'll get the whole family in on the
scene. Yeah.
That'll be great. But also, you mentioned there your husband obviously is really supportive of what you're doing, and you have those date meetings and so forth. And what sort of, how does he think about it, living in the same house?
Graham, I have the most incredible husband in the world. He is so good at loving me. And, you know, like I said, he just kind of rolled his eyes at first, and he's like, oh, great, another diet. Like, am I still going to be able to eat? Because my husband, when I look at him, he's built kind of like you. He's very tall. He has very broad shoulders. He's a big guy. He likes to eat, you know, like, you know, in the past we've gone to family functions, and kind of like in your book, we'd have a little bit in front of people because maybe we were embarrassed about how much we were eating. And then afterwards we'd go get something in the drive-thru because we didn't eat enough to really make us satisfied there. But he's made huge strides. He started begrudgingly with me, and he's lost so much weight that now he's really into it. He's doing OMAD as well. Now, granted, he's a little bit looser on his times than I am, not as strict. But since the beginning of the pandemic, he's dropped 75 pounds, and like 50 of that's been with IF. So.
Wow, that's fantastic. Unbelievable. The whole family is just shedding weight and joining it together. And you obviously talk about it. And, you know, with the pandemic, obviously a lot of people have been locked down, that sort of thing. We might not have been able to see extended friends, family. I mean, what have your colleagues been like at the hospital? I mean, obviously you're working in a health environment. They must have noticed what you're doing.
Absolutely. So I work in the OR, and they only let certain people back there, like you have to have on special scrubs and special shoes that you don't wear outside of the hospital, you know, for infection control. So we work very closely together. And I want to say in the first month of my fasting, because I quit soda, I was dropping like a pound a day, like super fast, a bunch of weight just fell off. And people started noticing right away, like after 20 pounds, people were like, what are you doing? And the change has been so dramatic. When I started, I was a size 20. And today I went thrift store shopping with my husband and I was able to fit in a size 8, which just completely blows my mind. I've never been a size 8, you know. It just completely shocks me. So, you know, everybody at work obviously has noticed a big difference. So a lot of my coworkers have started fasting. Like I know for sure, 6 people who talked to me about it and asked questions and, you know, have started since I have started. And a lot of them didn't even know what intermittent fasting was before I started doing it.
Yeah, interesting. It's there's a hospital here in Perth, actually, that they're doing a study on night shift and day shift. So they've got the night shift workers doing intermittent fasting and they've got the day shift workers doing the calories in, calories out, the traditional type diet. They're going to do it for a few months, then put out the results. So I'm looking forward to that, to seeing what happens. It's going to be really interesting. But I guess when you're at work and you're so busy in the operating theater and you're not really thinking about food, and as you said, you can't sit there at the desk and just snack away. You're actually in an environment where you can't do that. So that's been beneficial. But let's talk about exercise for a minute. You mentioned there in your bio, you're not a big fan of exercise.
I hate exercise so much. When I was maybe 21, I just moved to the city. My parents lived in a smaller town in kind of rural Missouri. And I was like, I'm going to move to the city and, you know, start city girl life. So I met some friends and we worked out nonstop. We did Beachbody and, you know, I didn't eat a whole lot and I just worked out probably an hour and a half a day and I dropped a bunch of weight. But the whole time I just hated exercising. It's not something that I would look forward to. I only did it because I thought it was helping me lose the weight, which it was. But eventually it wasn't sustainable and I quit and all the weight came back on. So since I've started this, I haven't exercised at all. Like I really should. I should get out there, but maybe a couple push-ups here and there, but not, no, I don't exercise at all.
Yeah, I guess being a nurse though, you'd be racking up the steps around the wards.
Absolutely, yeah. When I wear my Fitbit, usually like 16 to 20,000 steps a day because you're just running.
Wow. Well, guess what? You're doing a lot of exercise.
Yeah.
That's probably about 3 times the distance that most people are walking in a day. And obviously, you're in a hospital environment. You're not just strolling around. You're actually walking quite quickly to get to places or an emergency situation or that sort of thing. So technically, you probably are doing more exercise than what you think. But also, with the struggles about fasting, people often talk about all the great benefits and the positive things that we talk up. Have you had any struggles at all? Is there anything you missed from the previous way that you used to eat?
I can't wear my wedding ring anymore. It just falls off. I need to go to the jeweler and have it resized. That's definitely a negative. My husband's always like, where's your ring at? But I don't know. I have been experiencing, I don't know if this ever happened to you in your fasting journey. Sometimes I have like some numbness in my fingers and toes. And I think it's just because I'm so cold all the time, because I drop so much weight so quickly. I'm definitely getting ready to go see my doctor and just make sure nothing else is going on. But I'd say that's probably been the only negative. That and getting used to, you know, a lot of people don't really talk about it, but particularly on ADF, like on your eating days, the urgency and needing to go to the bathroom right after you eat, that's tough to struggle with, but you get used to it. And I would say it's not as bad as it used to be.
Yeah, well, I think that's important with ADF when you're on those refeed days to
gently open your window and that sort of thing with foods that sort of don't make that sort of reaction. But I think with exercise, it's a tough thing because when you're, well, when I was obese, right, I just couldn't exercise because it was too tough to, you see people running down the park. I couldn't run at 360 pounds if I tried, you know, it just was too hard. And then even going for a walk was hard enough. And then I wasn't going to go to the gym and that sort of thing and expose my obesity at the gym for everybody to stare at. And then as I lost the weight, I started doing more walking. And I'll tell a story. One day I was out walking and all of a sudden I started running. It was like Forrest Gump, you know, the calipers breaking off my legs. And next thing, bang, I'm running. And I'm going, man, I can run. This is so cool. And I remember tears running down my face, just running down this track, thinking, I can actually run. Graham Curry can run. This is so great. And I can't state how emotional that was. And now I absolutely love exercise because I can do it. I can go for a walk. I can go for a swim. I learned swimming. I couldn't swim at all, Hannah. I could do half a lap, and that was all I could do. It was embarrassing. And then I learned a little bit to swim and I went down and I persisted. I was doing 30 laps of an Olympic pool by the time the summer finished. And I was just so proud of myself. And now I sort of think, well, you know, I need to exercise just to keep that sort of, you know, autophagy process going with my skin tightening up. Because obviously when we lose a lot of weight, we get a little bit of loose skin. Have you any problems with that, Hannah, the loose skin side of things?
I haven't noticed any yet. I still probably have maybe 15 or 20 pounds to lose. My goal weight's 150. I still kind of have a pooch in my stomach. So I think it will be hard for me to tell until I lose that. Right now, it doesn't look like I have loose skin. Maybe a little bit on my underarms, but not too bad.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky too, even though I lost an immense amount of weight, 130 pounds, 60-odd kilos. I don't really have a lot. I had mainly a little bit under my arm, as you just demonstrated there, a little bit around on the inside of my tummy. But it seems to be getting tighter as time goes on, going into my fourth year of fasting now, been in maintenance for 2 years. So we just touched on your doctors there and your medical stuff. What about your blood work and that sort of thing? Has your doctor done that and checked that against your previous results? And has that improved for you?
You know, I haven't been since I lost the weight. I need to go in and have them double check it and see. You know, I'm thinking maybe the reason I'm cold is my thyroids maybe protesting all the weight that I've lost. So I do need to go in and have my thyroid checked.
Yeah, I think that's important. If you have anything like that, the numbness in your fingers you talked about, to go and get it checked out. But I talk to a lot of people and a lot of them say that lose weight or they're fasting, they do feel a cold. And I know I feel a cold immensely. I'm sitting here now with three layers of clothing on and I live in Perth, Western Australia. It's quite a warm climate.
Yeah.
And so I know sometimes when I go to bed at night, you know, and I'll put my hand on my wife, she'll go, oh my God, your hands are so cold. They're like ice blocks. And so, yeah, that has been not a downside, I guess, but I mean, when you're carrying 130 pounds extra, then you take that off. It'd be like a polar bear losing that in the middle of the ice. The polar bear's got to feel cold, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, we get into the mindset part of the podcast now, and I know this is something I really want to talk to you about because you mentioned there the mental side of IF, and I agree with you 100%. I think it's nearly 99% mental, this game, because a lot of people are obese in this world, 1.3 billion people, but some people simply don't have that mental fortitude to be able to do it. They can't get themselves into the right mindset. Just tell us some of those tricks that you use yourself, the self-affirmations, the self-love for yourself, all that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Well, if I got hungry and my window time wasn't opened, I think the most important thing is to stay as far away from the kitchen as you can. My husband and I have just a couple acres. We're actually in Kansas City, but it's a very rural part of Kansas City. So it's all woods around our house. It looks like a little cabin in the woods. I love it. So a lot of times I'll just go sit outside and either work on something out there, walk around, just do anything to keep myself busy. As far as the self-love goes, I think I have a lot more mental work to do before I can say that I'm where I need to be. Like, I still struggle with body dysmorphia. Like, I think a lot of people do after they've lost weight. Like, I'll be folding my clothes at home and I'll hold up my pants and I'll be like, oh, those are my son's pants. And then I'm like, no, those are mine. They're too long to be my son's. Like, I'm just shocked that those are my pants, that I can fit into that size. You know, I need to work on fixing that in my brain, because I still think that I'm that obese girl.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people in that situation are the same. And I know I would go into a shop and I'd pick up a 2XL shirt and the shop assistant would say, sorry, sir, that shirt's not going to fit you. And I'd think, oh, wow, I must need a 3X. And they'd say, that's way too big for you. You need to have an L shirt or an XL shirt. And I'd look at them like they were crazy. And then I'd go into the changing shed and I'd put on this shirt and it'd fit me like a glove. And I'd stand there and I remember one day, the first time I put on a large shirt and it didn't have an X on it. And I was so emotional. I bought it and I came out and ran into my wife. She was shopping too. And she said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I just bought this shirt and it's enlarged. I don't have any X's on my shirts anymore. And I just had that feeling that I needed these bigger shirts, because that's what I was used to. And it's like, you know, you'd look in your image in the mirror and you'd say, that's not me. That's not me.
Yeah.
Or you'd walk down the street and you notice a reflection in a shop window. And it's just crazy. And I always say to people, it's like going up to the Star Trek Enterprise, right? You get beamed up and then you get beamed back down onto the street and you're a completely different size and everything changes. You can fit in better. You walk through the crowd better. You're not banging over 20 people when you walk through a crowd, all that sort of thing. Or you're not knocking yourself on the side of doors when you're going into the small shop fronts. And so it's just tough getting used to that you image. But after a while you do, and then you just accept it. And it's like people, right? Like a lot of people comment on your weight loss on the way down, some negative, some positive, mostly positive. But then you start getting very few comments because people just get used to you. They just see you as you are and they just don't stop talking about it. Just like you and your mum will, you probably don't talk about it every single day. You're just getting used to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have noticed a big difference when I'm at work. You know, I have a very physical job because people are asleep when I'm taking care of them. So, you know, sometimes I have to prep your leg for surgery and hold it up in the air till we get sterile drapes underneath of it. And some people have some rather large legs, like, you know, you could really work up a sweat doing some of that. And it hasn't been as difficult anymore. It's been wonderful to not be sweaty and out of breath.
Always wonder about that in operating theaters. Like, you go in there and you get jabbed and you're out like a light. Always wonder what you guys talk about. I mean, what do you talk about? Sport or what you did last weekend or that sort of thing while you're working away? It must be quite a fun sort of atmosphere to work in, I guess, and very rewarding when you see the results of the operations. For some people, can be life-changing, obviously. And do you find that side of your job really rewarding when you get to see that patient up and about and fixed up?
Absolutely. I do all kinds of surgeries, but I specialize in ear, nose, and throat. So those are my doctors that I work with every day. They're there, and I make sure we have everything we need. I don't want to say like exactly where I work, but I work with soldiers. So there's a lot of people who've served our country throughout the years, and those are my clientele at my hospital. We don't help civilians at all. So it's so rewarding to be able to give back just even a little bit to the heroes that have given so much to us.
Yeah, I think that's really great. And we honor the memory, of course, of the soldiers around the world that have done their best in their service, and we thank them for that. And in particular, we're in memory of the soldiers that lost their life just recently in Afghanistan. And I think that was a very tragic situation. But yeah, we do thank them for their service, of course. But I'd like to get towards the end of the podcast in a minute. But before we do that, I want you to talk about people out there like yourself who are in the same situation. They're thinking, I'm lost, I want to start somewhere, I want to get this weight off. What sort of advice have you got for them, and where should they start with it all?
The biggest advice is just don't give up hope. Like, when I started my journey, I was like, there's no way anything's ever going to work for me to lose weight. I was actually really considering, a lot of my friends had had weight loss surgery. And my aunt was like, absolutely not, Hannah, don't do that. You know, it's going to mess up so many more things. Like, don't have it done. I have no problem with it. So I was really looking for a doctor and trying to make a plan. But I just coincidentally stumbled on intermittent fasting right at the very last second before I was getting ready to do that. So just don't give up hope. It's just finding exactly what works for you. I will tell you, I think everyone's body is different. So, you know, don't compare yourself to anyone else you see in the groups or to how fast they're losing weight. Like, this person might be doing great at 16.8 and dropping weight like nobody's business, but then this person over here might have to do more like 20-4 to end up losing weight. So just keep going. I really love Jen's advice, tweak it till it's easy. So if you're stuck and you feel like it's not working, just change one little thing, like whether that's increasing your eating window or decreasing it. If it's you need to give up sugar, or like I gave up soda, I feel like that really helped my weight loss journey. But it's really interesting, things that you think would increase your weight loss, sometimes decrease it. Throughout my journey, the Facebook groups have been instrumental for me. Just that constant support, the people who are on the same journey with me. You know, but sometimes, not in your group, but some of the other groups that I'm in, they give some not very, you know, wonderful advice. One of the things I did, I had a plateau at around 213 pounds when I'd lost, you know, maybe 20 or 30 pounds. And I kept hearing in the Facebook group, well, intermittent fasting only works if you have your calories in, calories out ratio right. So I downloaded MyFitnessPal and I started tracking everything I ate, or trying to. We eat a lot of home cooked meals, so it's kind of hard to track exactly how many calories, like how big is this serving. And I got super OCD about it, and my weight loss stalled out. Like, I was not losing any weight. How I got over that is I was like, okay, I'm going to start just eating what I'm hungry for and eating to satiety, not being so anal about everything. And that's come back around too since I started ADF. Like, you know, I thought I'm absolutely, you know, the smallest window possible. I'm going to eat lunch and I'm going to eat dinner and I'm going to eat small portions, and that'll sell you out faster than anything. I found I've actually lost more weight since I started having a small breakfast at like 9 a.m. You know, so just tweak it until you find what exactly your body is looking for. For everybody, it's different. If you do what I did, you might not lose the weight. It's just listen to your body.
Love that. Absolutely love it. And I think what you said there about not comparing to others is super important, because we can go into different groups and look at the pictures and the face-to-face Fridays and all that and say, how come I can't do that? Why is that person doing that? Why am I not doing that? And it's really important to realize you're an experiment of one, and you're not the same as everybody else. Your DNA in your body is totally different to everybody else. They might be doing 10 miles of jogging every day. You don't know what they're doing. They might be doing all sorts of things. So just concentrate on your own journey and find what works for you, as you have, Hannah, on this journey. But Hannah, I can't tell you how thrilling it's been to talk to you today. But also, before you go, one thing I should have asked you was, when you first started with the eating in your window, right, were you eating all the things, and did you naturally progress to a more worthy type window, or how did that work for you?
Yes, I've always, aside from that, you know, calorie counting period in my journey, I've always eaten whatever I felt like. I've never been, ever since I was young, I cannot eat salad to save my life. My mom's laughing. So, you know, I'm not the healthiest eater. I really enjoy my protein. And so on this journey, probably since close to the beginning, I really focus on protein and fats because I do this longer fast. So I want to make sure I've got good, healthy fats in my diet and I've got enough protein so my hair's not falling out and that can carry me through till the next time that I eat. So there are times, you know, I have a 5-year-old and he's in jujitsu and doing all these extracurriculars and running all over the place. So we can't always make the healthiest meals. Sometimes we do throw in a frozen pizza or something, and that's okay. I don't think anybody should feel bad about having days like that, as long as they're the exception and not the rule.
Yeah, give yourself grace is the key words there, of course. And, you know, life isn't a straight line as we know it, particularly when you're raising children and you're busy and that sort of thing. Sometimes those sort of things happen. And it's important to realize that this is a lifestyle and not a diet. And sometimes the choices we make may not be the best ones, but if we make better choices than worse choices most of the time, then we're all going to be fine, aren't we? But Hannah, thank you so much for joining me here on the Fasting Highway today. And thank you for the great work that you're doing on the front line there. We all appreciate what you and your colleagues are doing for us throughout this pandemic. Thank you so much. And thank you to your mum and best wishes to your grandmother on Monday for her birthday. And we'll talk to you again here on the Fasting Highway. Thank you.
Thank you, Graham.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Hannah. Thoroughly enjoyed that chat with you. And I think you gave a really good explanation and insight into just what it's like to live an intermittent fasting lifestyle. And some of those glimpses into your journey, I'm sure, are going to inspire others to take it up around the world. So thank you for sharing that with us today. Coming up next week on the podcast, we're going to be speaking to another inspirational person in Megan Kreisenbeck. And Megan's from Meridian, Idaho. Looking forward to that one, so don't miss that one next week. That's Megan Kreisenbeck. Also, if you are interested in my own journey, you can get my book, The Fasting Highway, on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. Until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.